From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with a quick look at state and local headlines. Juneau's state lawmakers met with city staff and assembly members to talk about the start of the legislative session. At the end of last year's session, the city and borough found itself on the hook for more than $5 million in cost shifts from the state. Meanwhile, its legislators were trying to stem the tide of state jobs leaving town while also monitoring what some see as yet another effort to move the capital. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more on what local leaders are watching this year.
Juneau's legislators say they're committed to working together to address impacts to the city from last year's vetoes.
We're still looking at education. We're looking at funding the ferry system. We're looking at anything with mental health issues.
That's Mayor Beth Weldon. Of the many state budget vetoes last year, the biggest impact for Juneau was $3.7 million in school bond debt reimbursement, money the city used to get from the state.
The state is not living up to their obligations as far as school bond debt, but I don't see any changes this session.
Despite that, she says she came away from the meeting with lawmakers feeling encouraged. Education funding is an annual priority for Juneau, but last-minute cuts and delays at the state level in recent years have made it difficult for school districts to budget. Representative Andy Story is a former Juneau school board member. She plans to introduce a bill this session that would put $30 million that was outside the state's education funding formula last year back in so that districts can better plan ahead.
It's dollars school districts can count on, and it's inflation-proofing that amount, so it brings some certainty.
Story is a member of the Alaska House of Representatives Majority Coalition. After getting off to a slow start last year in the House, Story says the coalition hopes to expedite this year's budget process.
In fact, we are already going to have budget subcommittee meetings starting first week of session.
Another ongoing concern is capital creep, the slow but steady migration of state jobs out of Juneau to other parts of the state. Last year, the delegation sent letters to state commissioners asking for a heads up whenever they plan to eliminate positions in Juneau or move them elsewhere.
The administration has great latitude in where they place a job or how they move a job around.
That's Representative Sarah Hannon. According to the Juneau Economic Development Council, government jobs have been on the decline for 8 years straight. Hannon says many of those jobs seem to be going to Anchorage and the Mat-Su.
There's some focus that concentrating them all in Anchorage better serves Alaska, but we don't see any cost-benefit analysis being done that used to be required.
As for the proposed ballot initiative to move legislative meetings to Anchorage, Hannon says she hasn't heard much about it since the organizers got approval to start collecting signatures last year. The initiative has until the start of session on Tuesday to turn in the signatures necessary to get it on this year's ballot. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Prosecutors in Nevada have dismissed all charges against a former Alaska political consultant who was accused of assaulting his former fiancée. Ben Sparks was the campaign manager for U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan when Sullivan was elected in 2014. As a veteran Republican political consultant, Sparks' case made national news 2 years ago when he was charged with kidnapping and domestic battery. And his ex-fiancée released a signed five-page sex contract that described her as Sparks' quote, slave and property. Sullivan at the time calls the allegations and reports shocking and extremely disturbing. Prosecutors dismissed five of the felony charges against Sparks in October, but said at the time that they wanted to pursue a misdemeanor battery charge against him. Last week, prosecutors dropped that charge too, saying that Sparks' ex-fiancée had become ill and wouldn't be able to testify at trial for a long time. That's according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Sparks' attorney told that newspaper that the allegations against him were completely fabricated. Sometimes the state of Alaska sues itself. In October, the Alaska Supreme Court ruled on a particularly odd intrastate case. Through one lens, the case was about grand legal questions of poverty, how inaccessible the court system is for rural Alaska, and how those factors undermine core rights in our justice system. But through another lens, the justices were basically deciding a down-in-the-weeds accounting question with almost no practical effect, except for running up publicly funded legal bills. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
In 2016, the Division of Juvenile Justice was prosecuting a minor from the village of Marshall. The public defender agency represented him. The minor wasn't in state custody and wanted to stand trial, which meant getting to a courthouse in Bethel. But his family couldn't afford the travel, so a Bethel Superior Court judge ordered the public defender to pick up the tab. Then the public defender sued the court system and argued the courts or juvenile justice should pay for the travel. Heads up, the audio from the court proceedings is a little rough.
So what we really have here is a squabble between two different agencies of the state about who's going to pay.
It eventually went to the Alaska Supreme Court. That was Justice Craig Stowers during oral arguments in the case last year. Just noodle on what he said for another second. The lawyers and judges all agreed the state must pay the travel bill. So whatever the outcome of the case, the effect on the state of Alaska's bottom line was the same. Except now there's lawyers' fees, too. The court system hired an outside law firm for its defense. A court system spokesperson says that cost about $33,000. Juvenile justice also got pulled into the case and racked up legal fees from the Department of Law. By the end, those lawyers logged 388 billable hours. And then there's the public defender agency's time, which isn't easy to quantify because it doesn't log billable hours. But collectively, about $86,000 in lawyers' fees plus the public defender's time went into this legal exercise in budgetary semantics. The travel expenses themselves would be a fraction of the legal costs, plane tickets for the youth and a parent, and some money for food and a place to stay. Dollars and cents aside, the court's ruling could have set a precedent for the next time a poor juvenile defendant asserts their right to stand trial, which is rare. Division of Juvenile Justice Director Tracy Dompling says her division resolves most cases through things like youth court, restorative justice interventions within the community, or tribal courts. Dompling said she pulled her team to see how often trial travel comes up.
Most of the responses I got back were folks from all over the state that couldn't even remember the last time there was a juvenile trial.
So it's a niche issue. But the court fight in this case, the one the public defender sued over with the kid from Marshall, opened a big can of worms. The Court of Appeals decided that not only should the kid's travel bill go to the public defender, but that the agency should also be paying for travel for all its cases like this, juveniles and adults. I couldn't get someone from the public defender agency to agree to an interview on tape, but in separate filings, two assistant public defenders said the potential consequences of this ruling are enormous. They framed it as a threat to the agency's ability to defend Alaskans who can't afford their own lawyers, that paying for all of their clients' travel bills could come at the expense of hiring experts, calling witnesses, employing lawyers, investigators, and paralegals. So from the public defender's perspective, the down-in-the-weeds accounting debate over rare situations involving small dollar figures had blown up into a potentially huge problem that could touch every case involving clients who aren't in state custody and must travel. So the public defender appealed. The Supreme Court heard the case last February, and the High Court concluded that state law doesn't specify who gets the travel bill in this case. The justices said it's up to lawmakers and policymakers to rewrite the rules so that they do. Justice Stowers brought this up during the Supreme Court hearing.
If you've got two agencies that just want an answer, why don't the agencies go to the legislature and ask the legislature to clarify what it is that the legislature intends? Why is this a court case? Why don't you folks go and solve the problem if you can?
Elected lawmakers usually aren't inclined to spend more money on an agency whose core mission is to defend people accused of crimes. So after the legal dust settled last fall, the Division of Juvenile Justice and the Public Defender Agency agreed informally that, yes, going forward, they'd work it out themselves. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The Regulatory Commission of Alaska, which is overseeing Hilcorp's purchase of BP stake in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, plans to hold a six-hour public hearing on the deal in February. The decision denies a request by the companies to approve the transaction without a public hearing. The commission announced its decision on Friday, saying it had received public comments both supporting the deal and registering concerns. The hearing is scheduled for early next month in downtown Anchorage. It will allow additional comments on the applications, the RCA said in its order. BP and Hilcorp, in a written filing last month, asked the RCA to approve the deal without holding a public hearing. The company cited concerns about delays and said that the agency had not held hearings while scrutinizing other major transactions. Turning now to weather, snow could be turning into rain this afternoon or a mix of rain and snow. There's a high near 35. We're only looking at 1 inch of total precipitation before midnight. With a low around 32, there's a chance of snow overnight, but with less than a half inch forecasted. Warming up tomorrow with a high near 37 and a 40% chance of rain in the afternoon. That could turn to snow overnight. Tomorrow's tomorrow night's low is right at 32 degrees again. That's more or less the pattern throughout the weekend. Currently, it's overcast and 35 degrees at Juneau International Airport.